بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، there's a hadith that's related by Abu Umama رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said: كيف بكم إذا طغى نساؤكم وفسق شبابكم وتركتم جهادكم؟ قالوا: وإن ذلك لكائن. قال: نعم، والذي نفسي بيده وأشد منه سيكون. قالوا: وما أشد منه يا رسول الله؟ قال: كيف أنتم إذا لم تأمروا بالمعروف ولم تنهوا عن المنكر؟ قالوا: وكائن ذلك يا رسول الله؟ قال: نعم، والذي نفسي بيده وأشد منه سيكون. قالوا: وما أشد منه يا رسول الله؟ قال: كيف إذا رأيتم المعروف منكرا ورأيتم المنكر معروفا؟ قالوا: وكائن ذلك يا رسول الله؟ قال: نعم، وأشد منه سيكون. يقول الله: بي حلفت لأتيحن لكم فتنة يصير الحكيم فيها حيران. This is a hadith that's related by Ibn Abi Dunya in the book of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that how will your situation be when your women will become tyrannical, your youth will become transgressors, and you will abandon striving and jihad in the path of Allah. They said, would that really occur? Is that something that is truly to occur? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, of course. In fact, by the one in whose hand my soul is, something even worse than that is to occur. They said, what could be worse than that, ya Rasulullah? Already these few things that had been mentioned were quite shocking. What could be worse than that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how will your state be when you stop commanding the good and you stop prohibiting or preventing from evil? They said, is that something to occur, ya Rasulullah? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, in fact something even worse, by the one in whose hand is my soul, something worse than that is to occur. He said, what could be worse than that, ya Rasulullah? He said, how will it be? And this is a very important point. How will it be when you will see the good as bad? When you will begin to consider the good as evil? And when you will begin to consider the evil as good? Like genuinely, you will think that this thing which is considered bad by everyone else, by the Sharia, you will consider that to be good, and you will consider that which is considered in the Sharia to be good and virtuous to be evil. They were quite shocked and they said, is that to occur, ya Rasulullah? He said, of course, in fact, even worse than that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says that I swear by myself that I will spread on the land such a fitna, such a trial, that even the wise one among you will be lost, or could be lost. This hadith, it tells us of changing times. It tells us of a gradual turning around of perspectives, good to the bad, bad to the good, and I'm sure this is something we witness. We see through many of these things. But it is very possible, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't protect us, that we may already be looking at certain things that are considered by the Sharia in reality as bad and repugnant and evil, that we consider them to be good, and vice versa. There's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he said that a servant, a slave, a person does the work like that of the people of paradise until there's just a short distance between him and paradise left to the end of his life. And the destiny, that which is written about him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his eternal knowledge, overcomes him. And then he perpetrates an act of the people of hellfire, and he enters the hellfire. And then there are certain servants who do evil all their life. They do the actions that are the actions of the people of the hellfire, until there's just a short, very short distance, a handspan left between them and the hellfire, and what's written about them in terms of what Allah knew they were going to do that overcomes them, and then they do the act of the people of paradise, and thus they enter paradise. An explanation of this hadith is given in another version of this hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said that what is meant by the person doing work or doing things and acts like that of the people of hellfire is what it looks like to people, is the apparent acts that they do, and people consider it to be the way it is. Likewise with the other person is the one who does good acts in the sight of people. But there is a hidden, there is something hidden inside which eventually overcomes. There's just something that's going on inside which is hidden, which eventually overcomes. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that really what is taken into consideration is the end state of people, is the final state of people, is the sealing state of people, the one on which people die on. So what this hadith indicates, these different hadiths, what they indicate is that really what matters is husnul khatima or su'ul khatima. So what matters for us is really husnul khatima. Husnul khatima means a good ending. Khatim, the word khatim comes from a seal, that it means a seal. So it's the final seal that you put on something after you close it all up, after it's all ended. So husnul khatima, a good sealing state. Su'ul khatima, a bad sealing state. So it doesn't matter what a person has been doing all their life, or what they look like, what they appear to be. It really matters as to what they ended with, and how they went from this world, and what their sealing state was. And that's why the ulama mentioned that this evil sealing state, even though a person's apparent actions may seem to be very virtuous, this evil sealing state comes up and is caused by an inner trait that is concurrent to the good act that a person may be expressing to others, but inside there is concurrently occurring something within inside that the person does once in a while, or is habituated to, but not in front of others, which people don't know about. But it's an evil state that eventually takes over. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to get rid of our secret sins. So that inner trait, which is normally hidden from others, overcomes, because at the end of the day, it's that matters which is seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not that which is seen by people. Likewise, there are many people who seem to not be observing the Sharia for a long period of their life, but yet inside their heart there's a lot of goodness. It's just waiting to dominate, and it hasn't dominated yet. It hasn't dominated to the outer side, to the external appearance, to the actions. But because it's there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that state, then that will become dominant before the person passes away. Abdul Aziz ibn Rawad, one of the people of the past, he says, I was present when somebody was in the last moments of their life, and they were being instructed or encouraged to read La ilaha illallah. But the last thing the person refused to say, La ilaha illallah, and the final statement that came from his tongue was, Huwa kafirun bima taqul. Huwa kafirun bima taqul. In the third person, it came from his tongue, but it was, he's a disbeliever in what you are saying. They were trying to say La ilaha illallah to him. So he's not saying, I am a kafir. He's saying, he is a kafir in what you are instructing or what you are saying. And that was his sealing state. So I asked about him. Abdul Aziz ibn Rawad says, I asked about him, and we discovered that though not in public, but he was a mudminu khamrin. He was given to drinking. He was given to intoxicants. And this overcame him at the last moment. May Allah protect us. And that's when Abdul Aziz ibn Rawad said, اتقوا الذنوب فإنها هي التي أوقعته. That beware of sins, any sin, because that is what has caused this person to have this ending. That's why the Sahaba, they knew the secrets of this thing. They knew the way this system really works of Allah. For us, it's just we look at the apparent. We don't really understand the causes of good and bad. We don't focus on them too much. But the Sahaba had such presence that their focus was always on this. And that's why they were always concerned primarily about themselves. That's why one of our greatest believers after the Sahaba, the second greatest man after the prophets, the second greatest man is who? As the agreement is of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the second greatest man. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the greatest. But this Umar radiallahu anhu, as we know of him, he's constantly trying to, he's always perturbed about this. He's always concerned, have I been written a munafiq? Have I been written a hypocrite? Will I die with a evil seeding state? And he's trying to find out. And there he's pestering Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Because Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu had been told the names of the munafiqeen. Tell me. He was trying to get this information from him. He was constantly worried. Why is a man like that constantly worried? He's got so many things to his name. He's got so many acts to his name. Such conquest to his name. So many great things to his name. But yet, this is his concern. Must be a reason. It's because he knew the inner dimension of things. He knew what it was really that mattered. Not what the apparent thing was and becoming happy with the external achievements. So we're being told these things so that we can ponder over it tonight. So we can try to focus on these things tonight. And we can try to look at our life and reflect to see where we're going and if there's anything like this that is abhorrent and repugnant in our lives, small or large, and that maybe we can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove those things from us. That's why one of the du'as, which seems a very simple du'a, it's something which we don't really understand, but it's a very simple du'a, I'm sure everyone has heard it. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turner of the hearts, establish my heart on your deen. Keep it firm on your deen. You're the one who can turn things around, but I ask you, O Allah, to keep my heart sound and firm on the deen. Because we don't know, today could all seem rosy. But tomorrow, because of our deeny external achievements, we start bragging about it, we become boastful, we start looking down on others, and that could be our downfall. The same deen that we have taken on and adopted, but not with good spirituality, not with a good understanding and insight, not with the true iman, but as a self-achievement, and we go down because of that. And may Allah protect us from that. That's why humility is extremely important. Humility is always very important. So the ulama have singled out a few points which lead to an evil sealing state, and one of them is intoxicants. Pretty much you look at Suyuti, Ghazali, all of these great scholars who've kind of looked at the hadith and the sunnah and the Quran and studied wherever they see that there is a particular sin or a particular act which leads to a bad ending. And they found that one of the major causes of that is drinking, is intoxicants. And you know, you can spread that intoxicants, you can take it in a more broader way in terms of whatever that includes. I mean, they were talking about wine, they were talking about, you know, intoxicating drinks. But I'm sure there's other things, because it has this thing of overcoming a person's rationality. So a person is not really focused and conscious about what they're doing all the time. Now, this could happen in two ways. There are some people who become intoxicated and physically you can see the reason for their death is an accident because they're drinking and driving, or they've thrown themselves off something, or they did something stupid and got into a fight and some, you know, killed each other. So sometimes there's a very apparent cause that is directly linked and can be seen by anybody that it's linked to drinking, it's linked to intoxicants. At other times you can't see it, but it deprives a person of the kalima on their deathbed. Which one is worse? They're both the same. Because a person who dies in an intoxicated state, where's he going to say La ilaha illallah from? And a person who's not in an intoxicated state, but the person is on their deathbed and everybody's saying La ilaha illallah, and the person is still unable to say it, then maybe that's a worse state. Who knows? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this sin and from all other sins, especially those that are of this intensity and this nature. For a good sealing state, part of a good sealing state is that actually that the ulama mentioned that a person actually sweats. That's a good sealing state. That is a sign of a good sealing state.
Because there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the maut of the mu'min, the maut of the believer, yakunu bi'araqil jabin, happens with the perspiration of the forehead. Another one is that there's always a sign of contentment, a sign of satisfaction, a smile for a person despite the state that the person has died in. Despite the state that a person has died in. And that's why people who've seen shuhada, people who've seen people who have been martyred in the path of Allah, we hear that from the stories of the Sahaba as well, and numerous accounts of that nature, that you just don't see that state. You don't see an evil-seeming state. There's always a sense of happiness, despite the gruesome nature in which they may have been killed or died. It's related from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, that when death came to him, when he was about to die, they were saying to him, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, as we say, you know, La ilaha illallah, everybody starts reading La ilaha illallah. He looks up at the heavens and he smiled and he said, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ For the like of this, do the people who do good, do their good actions. So he was oblivious to what they were probably saying. He was looking up at the heavens and he was being given a vision. He was being given a vision and he was saying, this is for which you work all your life and do these good deeds. I mean, that's such an experience. If only you could see that while we're alive. So it's clearly he was seeing some sense of goodness. He was seeing an unveiling. There was an opening for him there, which he was seeing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a good sign. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up to certain people of his awliya in this world, so that not just they feel good at the time of death, but everybody else knows about it as well. So one is that, you know, we feel good about it. But the other one is that people around us also know, because that's a sense of greatest inspiration. That is a great encouragement for others. Because they've seen this person's life in front of them for years and years. And now they see this ending. And death is something that can rock anybody. Death is something that is supposed to rock anybody. I mean, if you look at some of these pictures of the Pakistan floods, I'm telling you, it's, unless you're extremely hard-hearted, you know, you just can't not shed tears. The amount of destruction, young babies and women and that, just walking around with nothing, just miles and miles of water, bridges collapse, houses gone. It's just ajeeb. It's just a major catastrophe, which we don't wish on anyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a source of removal of their misery. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them great rewards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's his awliya that have been trying their best and doing good in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deprive them at their death. He does not humiliate them in this world, nor at their death, and definitely not in the hereafter. But he hosts them, he honors them. And that is very simply what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, he places for them acceptance in the world. So everyone begins to love them, and everybody begins to like them and want to emulate them. And for them themselves, it becomes easier for them to do the dhikr of Allah and to say La ilaha illallah on their deathbed. And once a person says La ilaha illallah once at their deathbed, then you stop. That's been their final word. Then you don't keep saying it. Then unless they say something else afterwards, then you say it again. Finally, Anas radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا إِسْتَعْمَلَهُ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good with someone, he uses him. He takes him for his service. Whoever that person is, regardless of what they do, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks that and selects that person for and desires good for him, he's going to give him some sense of tawfiq to do something good for the deen at some level or the other. Istamalahu, he will use him for his deen. So they asked Anas radiallahu anhu, sorry, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kayfa istamalahu, how will Allah use him? How will he deal with him? He said, yuwaffiquhu li'amalin salihin qabla al-maut, before death Allah will give him the tawfiq, which means divine guidance, to do something good, for a good action, a good action of decent proportions. And the person will do that, and that will be their sense of accomplishment, and that will be their acceptance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith which is related by Amr ibn al-Hamq radiyallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا عَسَلَهُ. Similar thing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good with someone, He will use him. وَكَيْفَ يَعْسِلُهُ؟ قَالَ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهُ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ مَوْتِهِ حَتَّى يَرْضَى عَنْهُ جِيرَانَهُ أَوْ مَنْ حَوْلَهُ. How will He use him? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will open up for him, inspire him with an action, with a good action, with a pious action, which he will do before his death, so much so that his neighbors will become happy with him, and those people who are around him, meaning those people who know him, they will be pleased with this person. Regardless of what the person's state may have been before, he will be inspired to do a good action, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them pleased with him. This is a hadith related by Imam Tahawi and Imam Ahmad al-Hakim and others. So we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what we do, whatever vocation we're in, whatever our work is, or no work, we must ask Allah that Allah uses us for something or the other. And we don't know what it could be. You might think, I don't have the capability of giving good lectures, or calling somebody to the path of Allah, or doing this, that, or the other, that the normal things that we see people doing to be work of the deen. Don't worry about that. Ask Allah to help us. Ask Allah to open up the road for us. Ask Allah to open up the road for us. And believe me, in whatever we may be doing, whatever our vocation is, or whatever our capabilities are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find some way or the other, that then inshallah we will do a decent, good action, that's a pious action, and people will be happy with us. And the thing is that if we already have tawfiq to do apparently good actions, we're already in tabligh, we're already calling people to Allah, we're already doing something on the level of welfare or something, then let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it for us and make it truly and genuinely and sincerely something for the service of His deen. Because at the end of the day, it really matters as to what is going to happen on our deathbed and how our death comes. That's why you've heard of Abdul Aziz, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great Khalif, who came from such a prosperous background, being from the family of the Umayyads. They were enjoying themselves with just dipping their hands into the Baytul Mal. And although he was not a direct descendant, somehow, incidentally, he became the Khalif because the previous Khalif's children were too young and he couldn't dress them up to look old enough. And finally someone just whispered to him that your cousin Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, so they put him as the Khalif in 2 years and less than 6 months. That's how long he became Khalif for. He changed the whole thing around. He gave back from his wife everything that had been given to her by her, because his wife was from the royal family, from the Umayyads. He gave back everything. And once his children came to see him, and he was speaking to them with his hands over his mouth. And they were wondering, why do you have your hand over your mouth for? He says, because I haven't had anything to eat. The only thing I had was onions. And that's why I've got a smell, and that's why I don't want it to get to you. This is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the Khalif of the time. He just gave up everything. This was voluntary poverty. This was not poverty that was induced by Allah. This was voluntary poverty. But when he died, وَلَمَّا احْتُضِرَ عُمَرُ بْنَ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ أخرجوا عني فلا يبقى أحد. So when death was approaching him, he said to those that were sitting around him, people gather around, this is the Khalif, people are gathering around him. He said to him, move from me, leave me alone, go away from me. Nobody should remain here. فخرجوا فقعدوا على الباب فسمعوه يقول مرحبا بهذه الوجوه. I'm just saying in Arabic for those who understand Arabic, because it just sounds just so much eloquent in Arabic. مرحبا بهذه الوجوه ليست بوجوه إنس ولا جن. So they went out. They sat by the door. You know, because when they go outside, they're going to sit by the door. They don't run out. They're going to sit by the door, just see what's going on. Okay, maybe he needs some time for himself. They sat by the door and they were listening. And they heard him say, Marhaban bihadihi alwujuh. Welcome to these faces. He was describing them as faces. Wujuh is the is a plural of wajh, which means face. Faces. He didn't describe them as people or individuals or whatever. He said, these faces, you know, welcome to these faces. Laysat bi wujuhi insin wala jan. These are not the faces of humans or jinn. Again, this was another opening for another wali of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving him an unveiling of showing him the pleasures of the hereafter. People were coming to welcome him, and he was welcoming them. It must have been angels. Then he said, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Which is a verse of the Quran. That is the abode of the hereafter. After welcoming them and saying, these are not humans or these are not jinn, then he read this verse, which means that is the abode of the hereafter. He must have seen it. It must have been shown to him and unveiled for him. That is the abode of the hereafter, which we designate for those who do not want to be tyrannical in the world and who do not intend corruption in the world. Perfect description for him. Despite the position he was, his predecessors were known to be tyrannical in some senses, and fasad and corruption, overtaxing of the people and eating their money and so on and so forth. This was the perfect ayah, that is the abode of the hereafter, which we have designated for those who don't want to act with tyranny in this world, nor want to spread corruption and fasad. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqin, which means, and well-being is only for those who have the fear of Allah. Well-being and the final state is only for those who have taqwa. ثُمَّ قُبِضَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. And that was his end. He passed away then. Adam ibn Iyas, another great wali of Allah. When death came to him, he was reading the Quran. He was in the middle of a surah. He was covered up. He was in the middle of a surah. He was reciting. And this is a good sign that a person who's on their final moments, they still can read. They don't lose their mind. It's not a universal rule, but in general, those who have the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, they won't lose their mind, they will not be reduced, or they will not be returned to ardharil umur. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should actually seek protection from evil old age. Going back to what is a parallel of infancy in seniority. Evil old age where a person acts like a child. And in our, you know, our older people, they say, don't make us muhtaj of anyone. Kisi ke muhtaj na banaye. Right? Koi na muhtaj ni banaye. That's a constant dua. Which is a similar kind of dua that I want to have control of my senses. I want to be able to do things myself that people don't have to wait over me. But more than that, I mean, a person, there are people who have been pious all their life, and suddenly, you know, they've been praying all their life and then they stop praying because they just lose kind of their mind. But for most people that have Quran and Sunnah, they will not have that problem. They will be in control of their senses. So this person was reading the Quran, and he's covered with a cloth. So he finished off the surah that he was reading, and when he finished, he said, Allahumma arfuq bi fi hadha al-masra'. Allahumma arfuq bi fi hadha al-masra'. Oh Allah, treat me with softness, with leniency in this time when people are overthrown. Masra' is like a wrestling match where you're overthrown, where you get beaten. So it's a tough match. So he's describing it as a match, you know, as a fight. And he's saying, oh Allah, act with leniency and compassion with me in this duel or in this match or in this place that people are overthrown. Allahumma, and then he said, Allahumma kuntu u'ammiluka li hadha al-yawm wa arjuk. Thumma qala la ilaha illallah wa qudiya. And then he said, oh Allah, I had my full hopes in you for this day. I had my hopes tied with you for this day. So help me and be lenient with me in this place where many become overthrown. Then he said, La ilaha illallah, and he passed away. When Abu al-Wafa ibn Aqil, another great scholar, great writer, he wrote numerous large volumes. He was about to die. Baka ahlu. His family began to cry. Faqala lahum. He said to them, they're crying, he's calm. And he's saying to them, Li khamsuna sanatan a'budu. I've got 50 years of worship. I have 50 years that I've worshipped him. فَدَعُونِي أَتَهَنَّى لِمُقَابَلَتِهِ دَعُونِي أَتَهَنَّى لِمُقَابَلَتِهِ. So now, just leave me to attain the pleasure of his meeting. Don't cry. I've been worshipping him for 50 years. Now, let me take the pleasure of meeting him. Let me enjoy this meeting with him. There's another one, Abu Hakim al-Khibri. He was sitting, writing. As, you know, he was a writer, he was writing. And suddenly, the pen fell from his hand. And he felt the pangs of death, and he said, if this is death, فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ مَوْتٌ طَيِّبٌ. If this is death, then this is a pleasant death. And he passed away. You see, all of this, what it underscores and highlights, is that there's a hadith which says that those who are pleased to meet with Allah, Allah is pleased to meet them. So, he's ready to go. He's just using his final moments. He's working till the last day, till the last minute, till the last second, and now he can't write anymore. His pen falls out, and he's saying, if this is death, it's a pleasant thing. La ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives those who he has benefited, who he has given tawfiq to do these good actions at their death. And remember, this doesn't have to be only major scholars and people who know a lot. This could be anybody who does some good, who asks Allah to accept them for the service of their deen. Because there are so many things that we can do to strengthen this deen of Allah. And it's not only preaching or giving khutbahs or bayans or leading prayers. There's so many other things. There are so many welfare things that you could do. There are just so many things that you can assist and help humanity. And you can make life better and help people so that they can worship their Lord better. There are just so many things. There are just so many options. The options and the opportunities are limitless. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses each one of us for the service of his deen because he likes us, and make our actions those of the people of paradise until the end, and give us a good sealing state, and allow us to use this Ramadan for that. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will say that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. That those who say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, my Lord is Allah, we've all said that. Those who say, my Lord is Allah, or our Lord is Allah, we've all said that, this is talking about us. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. This is the difficult part. Then they have remained steadfast, not wavering excess to the excess or to the deficient side, but staying on the middle path. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then what happens to them? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ. The angels will descend upon them and will say to them, لَا تَخَافُوا. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And don't be grieved. Don't grieve. Don't be sad. Don't be sorrowful. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةَ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. And accept the glad tidings. Hear the glad tidings of that paradise, of those gardens which you have been promised. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove from us all of those hidden defects, hidden sins, apparent sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to see virtue and to see it in its right form and to follow it and to do it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to see evil as evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to abstain from it so that we can have a good sealing state.